This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast, and I'm joined by Jared Nunes, a great return guest, and we're joining you after Baylor won a national championship, and now we're in May, and we're looking ahead to next season. But before we look ahead to next season, I want to just start by talking about the journey. And, you know, I know we've talked about this some, I think, at the tailgate that you came to, but just how much joy comes from the process of every day, the grind, and seeing the culmination of that, you know, the incredible NCAA tournament, one of the most dominant teams in NCAA history. I mean, has it really sunk in? I mean, have you gone back and watched these games over and over again, or are you looking forward? What's your mindset right now?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on again, Ashley. It's great to see you, man. I actually have watched the championship game like 5 times. So I think my wife is getting sick of me watching it. She's watched it with me a couple of times, but
right.
Hey, you got to relive the moment every once in a while. So I'm trying to do that. But no, I mean, thinking back to last season, you know, when we had that incredible year going, right? And, you know, obviously the pandemic hit, and just remembering that feeling of having everything kind of just stopped and taken away from you, right? And not being able to, you know, finish that season and live that year out, you know, was so tough. And I remember it like yesterday, just how we all felt when we were up in Kansas City, and just all that time during the summer when, you know, we're going through everything and not being able to be with our guys. And then you fast forward to this season, and it was a season like no other, right? You had canceled games, you had the 3-week pause, you know, you had the bubble. And I tell you, man, for us to have persevered, not just us, but all teams in college basketball, but particularly us, to persevere through all of that.
Right.
And to bring the majority of our team back outside of Freddie and Devontae.
Right.
For these guys to buy in and come back and have a goal to get to a Final Four and win a national championship. And everybody has that goal. But I think, you know, our hard work and dedication from those guys and our staff and the returning players and the new guys, like, it just, I mean, it was unbelievable, man. And then you think about those 28 days we're in the bubble with each other, from, you know, away from family, away from our friends, and just that whole experience of us bonding together. And it was, you know, just us locked in, and it got tough at times, you know. Yeah. You know, not being able to go outside when you want, not be able to see your family. And so there was a time where, you know, there's a stretch where it got a little rocky, just from a personal standpoint. But for us to persevere through all that and be the last team to cut down the nets, man, it's unbelievable. It's history in the making, baby.
Yeah,
man.
Well, I'm impressed you've watched that championship game 5 times.
Oh, yeah, I'll probably watch it 5 more.
Yeah, and I've actually started, like, you know, from the Hartford game, and I just kind of rewatched the tournament, and I'm on my third time doing that, you know.
That's a good idea.
But yeah, it's a special memories for sure. Yep. So I know most people that listen to this podcast are going to want to look ahead, but before we get into the current roster and what the team might look like for this upcoming year, mm-hmm. I want to talk about you. And, you know, I think one of the unique opportunities is you win a national championship.
Right.
And obviously that opens doors for everyone on the staff professionally to you know, perhaps find a promotion, another job where they can earn more money or higher position. And I know you've had opportunities to do that. Mm-hmm. Why did you choose to stay? And, what went into your decision thought process?
Well, I mean, the first thing is, you know, I'm blessed enough to work with the best staff in the country. And I can just speak for myself, but I know that they're, you know, winning has perks, as we like to say, right?
Right.
And, you know, when you're winning, you're hot. And so I think people recognize, outside of our program, recognize how great of a staff we have. For me personally, I've known Scott really longer than anybody here. Like, he, you know, knew me when I was a 17, 18-year-old kid. I knew him when he had a whole set of hair. So, you know, we were both kind of young guys when we first started this run, you know, from Valpo to Baylor. And, you know, I can just say, you know, sometimes when you have a bond with somebody that's so strong and you work for a guy that is loyal and honest and committed and about family and who's a really, really close friend, like a brother.
Right.
You know, it makes it a lot tougher to leave and a lot easier to stay.
Right.
And I love Baylor. I love Scott. I love our staff. I love the situation we're in as a program right now. My family's happy here. So, you know, a lot of that went into the factor of me deciding that this is going to be my home. Yeah. But the main thing is just Scott Drew, man. You know how hard he is too, and on selling and all that stuff. But he didn't have to sell me too hard. I mean, I love Baylor.
Well, we love you, and I'm glad you're still here. I know you're a huge asset to the program, and it would be a shame. I would hate for anyone on staff to leave before that new arena gets built. I
mean, it's
gonna be so cool. And
yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully we'll have some good news on that pretty soon.
For sure. Hopefully.
So I know that looking ahead, it's going to be a challenge to obviously repeat as national championship champions. And we're not going to be one of the two or three favorites to do that going into the preseason, but we have a really good roster and, you know, things look really promising. Of course, getting James Akinjo from Arizona. Hopefully he'll get that waiver and be able to play. And then we've got Adam Flagler returning in the backcourt, LJ Cryer. We've got, obviously Matt Meyer expected back and Jonathan, I think, can take a huge leap. Flo, lots of experience there. And then we've got some great pieces around them. So I just want to go through the roster and ask you about guys and just maybe talk about what the plan for development for each player is, if you're comfortable doing that. Cause I know our fans would love to hear that. So, let's start with Akinjo. You know, when I watch film on him, the one guy that really came to mind was Curtis Gerrels. Mm. Do you see that similarity? Just that tough-minded. Yeah. I know Curtis was a left-hander, but ability to get tough buckets
He's got a. He reminds me. You know, he reminds me a little bit of. I can see the Curtis comparison. Has a little bit of Kenny Cherry in him too, his stop and go, his floater. James is a pit bull, man. He loves to compete. Really, really creative, especially off the dribble. Plays bigger than his size.
Right.
Had an outstanding year at Arizona just from an individual standpoint.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're really, really excited about him, man. We think that he obviously can really help us, but we can help him too in some areas that he wants to get better at. So, we're blessed to have him, and we're excited to get started in June.
One thing I've noticed is he takes care of the ball well. Like he doesn't make a lot of bad turnovers and force things. He seems like
He plays with great pace.
Right.
Pierre Jackson was a guy that I thought did that as well. Like he was really fast, but he knew when to change his speed. Right. Yep. And I actually thought that's where Davion really, really took that next leap. And I know him and I talked about it last summer, just about him slowing the game down, changing his speeds, being able to read defenses, being able to, use your speed to your advantage and keep people guessing. So James does a really good job at that. Really good job at that. And so I'm actually excited to see him in practice and see some of those things up close and personal.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about Adam. I mean, Adam's been a home run, just like Maceo and Davion were from a transfer standpoint. You know, playing up a level, you never know how it's going to translate.
Right.
But he's come through with flying colors, pivotal part of this national championship team, great three-point shooter. And I really think one of the more underrated defenders in the country, moves his feet really well, seems to always be in good position. Like, what do you see from him? What's the next level of maturation for him?
First of all, great kid, amazing kid. Was happy to see him recover from COVID and finally kind of get his legs back and his stamina back to where it was in the beginning of the year before he got it, because he was on a tear before that, you know, and he never complained, just worked. But, you know, we like to say, you know, you put in the private pain for public success, right? And Adam's a guy that worked extremely hard along with Maceo and Jared and all of our guards, Davion. And, you know, he was one of those group of four guys that really, really worked on his ball handling, getting the shot off quicker. He made it a concerted effort to get better defensively this year. And being able to be a star in his role, like, look, Adam could have started on probably every other team in the Big 12, maybe but one. And I don't even know, you know, he probably could have started on many a teams, not just in the Big 12, but around the country. I mean, he's that good of a guard. So since the season, he's been in here every single day before he went home. And I mean, he's working his butt off, doing certain drills and things that he wanted to prove on going into the next year. But I think sky's the limit for him. I think he could be one of the best guards going into the Big 12 and one of the best guards going into the country next year. And obviously we're going to, you know, his role is going to have to expand. We're going to need more from him. Just not just physically, but just more as a leader, because he's naturally a quiet kid, great teammate, but needs to speak up a little bit more. He knows all this stuff. So, you know, we're going to demand it out of him, but he's ready for the challenge. And I think he's going to have a great year, man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and so LJ Cryer is one that got some playing time and showed some really good things in limited minutes last year. You know, obviously we know his reputation as a scorer coming out of high school. He looks solid defensively. What's your expectation for him, and how does he need to improve to be able to be a big factor?
Well, I think it's tough anytime you're a freshman and you've played, you know, pretty much your whole life, or been kind of the star on the team and, you know, the all-time leading scorer in high school history, I think, in Houston. And, you know, you're used to being kind of that guy. And so I thought, I was really, really proud of him, how he adapted and handled, you know, not playing that much coming into this year or during the season, you know, realizing that he had, I mean, three All-American guards in front of him. Really, Adam could be one. So, but he took that opportunity to learn from those guys, to watch them, to study them, to compete against them in practice, to really get better at certain areas that he needed to. And he's a gym rat. I mean, he loves being in the gym, loves working, loves putting in the private pain. And I look forward to him this year too. I think that, you know, confidence, and you know this, confidence is always a huge component as a player, right? And for you to get confidence and your confidence to be high, you have to get some experience. So I think the more experience he gets during the year, the better he'll become. So I think he'll, I think you'll see a growth period with him. Like I'm hoping maybe in the middle of the year towards, you know, that conference time is when I think he's really going to find his niche. So look forward to seeing that with him too.
Absolutely. And then Dale Bonner was one we just signed, and I was able to talk to him on the phone. Seems like a terrific kid. Has, you know, the right expectations, the right mindset, you know, coming in. And, you know, I know his mindset is that, you know, he'll play if needed, but he's going to really use this year to improve and be ready for, you know, big things in the future. I mean, what do you see from him, and how did you even come across him? How is he discovered?
Well, first of all, that's kind of humbling to hear that from a young man, isn't it? For a kid to say that and have that kind of perspective coming in. Coach Jakus and Coach Tang have some common friends that knew about Dale, and that kind of they had been communicating with. And we all liked him. I mean, we've liked him as a player. And listen, I mean, whether it's D2, D3, if you average 21 points a game, it's not easy to average 21 points a game. I don't care where you're at. So, I mean, that's an accomplishment in his own right. So, very, very skilled, good size, great kid, great family, and just kind of fits, you know, who we are and what we're looking for, right? Guys have got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, maybe have been overlooked, have something to prove, high character kids that want to stay in the gym and want to trust the process of getting better.
Yeah.
You know, there's no magic wand, you know, on how we did this thing. It was just as a staff, we grinded, we work hard. Our players, they grind, they work hard, and that's it. I mean, there's nothing else that we do other than that. And, you know, we just want to keep bringing in guys who are about the right things and about our culture. And Dale is one of those guys who's like that. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Well, we'll move on to the front court. I mean, I know some of these guys are hybrids. You could, they probably want to think of themselves as guards, and that would, that would describe Matthew Meyer.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew is, you know, certainly, I mean, he puts up the numbers. I mean, mm-hmm. he comes in, he's
not gun shy.
He gets steals. He's efficient, you know, from 3-point range. He can score at the rim. His foul shooting needs to improve. And I've told him that before, but
good. I mean, keep telling him that.
he's a guy that just, has almost unlimited potential just because he's 6'9", can handle it so well. And he's such a good athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you think, we talked before we started rolling the record button, that, I mean, I see this as a potential to be a Taurean Prince situation where he could really elevate himself into a first round pick.
Right.
I mean, he has that kind of potential to be that. And
yeah.
I mean, where does he have to get better to really take that next step?
Well, you know, you and I talked, like you said before, we started rolling, and I think I've been here going on like 12 seasons, 13 seasons. And I think he's definitely talent wise, potential wise in the top 5 or 10.
Right.
For me. I mean, there's really nothing he can't do. He's 6'8", 6'9", puts the ball on the ground, you know, really athletic, can make any shot, can take any shot, as we know.
Right.
But I think, you know, with his coming into this season, I think Matt, we got to see, and Matt will admit this, a little bit more consistency, right? Playing through fatigue.
Yep.
And just being able to mature more and step up more as a leader.
Right.
I think if he can do those things, I mean, sky's the limit. Cause I really don't see anything that he can't do when he is in shape and he's focused and locked in. We like to say locked in Matt. When Matt's locked in.
Right.
And like he was the last, you know, month of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, he was playing at a really, really high level.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season that really helped us get to, you know, our end goal. But I just think potential wise is there. It's just, you know, him being structured to have the discipline, to have the consistency, and just have the work ethic, and then just mentally being, you know, taking that next step of maturity. I think, man, he could have an amazing year this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and two guys that I think will really help him just as far as an example, just of hard work and constantly improving their craft. Flo Thamba, you know, Flo is kind of the guy that is the forgotten guy on the team. I mean, he's a starter, but, you know, Jason King and I did interviews and we were looking back and we're like, man, we hit on everybody in the rotation except for Flo. And that was our bad for not getting him, you know, on our podcast. But I think that he's a guy that just has really been impressive with how much he's improved defensively. We talked about this, you know, he moves his feet really well. Yeah. And, you know, he started to show some signs of becoming, you know, that rim defender that we need. And so did Jonathan. You know, but you know, I know we talked about on a previous podcast that he probably needs to improve his balance and just be stronger as a finisher around the rim. But what do you really see from him? And you know, where's his potential?
Yeah, so I mean, I echo all those things you were saying. You know, towards the end of the year, and I really started noticing probably about a month out, he really started getting more vocal in practice and during the scouting reports. And I think from that point on, just from a defensive standpoint, similar to Freddie the year before.
Yeah.
I mean, he just started really becoming our anchor defensively.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, you know, he was contesting shots. He was our defensive coverages. He knew he was a lot more vocal, and you could just see it. Right. I mean, and he was playing with a different set of a different energy to him. So that was great to see. Now going into the summer and going into the season next year, his areas of improvement are a lot of what you just said. And he knows that, right? He's got to get his balance. He's got to get better. He's got to, he improved finishing at the rim, but he can even take that next step to where, you know, he can catch, dunk, catch, lay it up. You know, he's been improving on his outside shot.
Yeah.
And the thing with Flo is he can shoot the ball. He's great touch. Yeah, now it's just being able to have confidence to step out, pop out and shoot it. Right.
Right.
So he's been working on that. Working on a couple post moves, you know, now in the game, college basketball has changed so much to where a lot of it is even for five men, for guys that play the post position, it's less posting up, right? It's more pick and roll, catching lobs, you know, pick and popping, finishing, being able to knock down jump shots. So he's really kind of expanded and worked on his game in that regard. So, you know, I'm hoping he can, you know, he can take that next step, because defensively, I think he's already there. Now it's just making sure his offense can kind of catch up with that. And then he's going to have a heck of a year.
Yeah. And the two things that are the two guys that really are elite pick setters, you know, he and Jonathan both, I mean, were terrific. You know, it's setting picks and setting solid screens. Mm-hmm. Is that, have you, like, thinking back, I mean, I know Josh Lombers was really good at that. I mean, we've had some good pick setters, you know, Rico. But I mean, is Flo and Jonathan two of the best we've ever had? Freddie, you have to put Freddie in that mix.
Yeah, they definitely are. Hey, are you hearing the echo a little bit? Am I sound muffly when I come through?
Not on my
end. I'm hearing a little bit of echo from you. It's okay. Yeah, I think those last three. Now we've had great ones, but Freddie, John, and Flo have been tremendous screen setters.
Right.
And not just setting the screen, but getting out of the screen to where they're rolling to the rim hard or catching the ball on a lob pass dunk. Now, I think what people got to realize is even if they're setting the screen and sprinting to the rim hard and they're not getting the ball, the defense still has to respect and react to that. And that can open it up to somebody else.
Right.
So that was such a huge part of our success. And a lot of people may not understand that or maybe appreciate that, but just their roles on what they did for our basketball team was huge, because without that, now people can stay extended out on our guards. And it becomes a little tougher for them to get some of those open looks or some of the things that they were able to get.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, those two guys were tremendous for our team success this year.
Yeah. And I know Jonathan, you know, he's a guy that got better as the tournament went along. He showed some incredible signs early in the year. And then I know he got COVID also, kind of set him back a little bit. But, you know, as far as potential wise, I mean, he's got everything you want to see, a great touch, athleticism. He's you know, his energy kind of reminds me of Quincy Acey, just off the charts energy. Like, I mean, do you think is he a guy that potentially could be a double-double guy for us this year? I mean, what are your expectations for him?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I mean, there's nobody, I mean, I've been coaching for a long time. There is nobody that I can say works harder than John.
Right.
I mean, he's a machine. He's a freak in a good way. He's just a gym rat. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Maybe some guys that work just as hard, Maceo, Davey, and other guys, but nobody harder.
Yep.
I mean, he had a little bit of issue with his foot. So Dave Snyder, our trainer, put him in a boot after the season, just to kind of put some pressure off of it. He's downstairs shooting off one foot, you know, sitting in a chair, working on his form. I mean, it's just crazy. He's also up to hitting like 75 out of 100 threes.
Wow.
So he's really, really, you know, making an emphasis on being able to catch and shoot and expanding his game.
Right.
So I'll tell you this, John, it's pretty hard for anybody to say John, everyday John, is not going to show extreme improvement in every part of his game.
Right.
Because again, there's no secret. The harder you work, the luckier you get. And there's nobody who works harder than him.
Right.
His body, I mean, he's chiseled. We all know that. I mean, he's strong. His motor is high. But what I like is he always wants to work on things that he needs to improve on.
Yeah.
And he's doing that. So I think he can get a double double. I'd like to see him get one or two blocks of games. I think he can do that too.
Yep.
I think he could get a couple assists a game. He's a really good passer when he's confident.
Yep.
We're gonna try to help him with that this summer. But yeah, I mean, he's to me, he's the guy that I mean, if you tell me who's gonna have a good year, if you could say right now who's gonna have a great year for you next year. The two guys I would probably say is John and Adam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, John, I mean, he's a special, special breed, man.
Yeah.
He really is.
Makes sense. Oh, it's exciting. All right. So let's run through the three guys that are kind of waiting their turn and, you know, Dane Danger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what have you seen from Dane? I would assume that we found a formula that we like, you know, four out, one in, and that we're probably going to play a lot of four out, one in this next year. Is that a safe assumption?
Yeah, I think it is. But again, I think the unique thing for our team this year is we got different pieces. I mean, last 2 years, we didn't have much transition,
right?
I mean, we had four guys that you knew were playing, 120 minutes between three guards and Mark, and then you had Freddie.
Yep.
And then you had Bandu.
Right.
Well, now you come this year and now Flo goes into, you know, Freddie's role.
Yep.
John goes into Flo's role, plays a little bit more than Flo did the following year. Adam comes into Devontae's role.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you got the four guys who started. Yep. So it wasn't a whole lot of turnover. You know, this year, now you got some guys coming back. You got some guys who played a lot, some guys who didn't play that much. Then you got your freshmen coming in. So it's going to take a while, chemistry wise, and just figuring some things out, figuring out who plays well together, how we want to play. Do we traditionally go three guards? Do we go, you know, big three? Do we go bigger on the front line? I mean, there's a lot of kind of question marks for us, which is fun.
Yeah.
But also is going to take some time. You know what I mean? Because we haven't been in this situation for 2 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, to answer your question, I know I'm getting long-winded, but to answer your question, I think it's a good problem to have, but it also can be challenging, right? Because we have to figure out what's the best, you know, group of guys playing together. And I mean, coach always says a lot of times players determine playing time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got some months to figure it out, but you know, we're confident that we'll put the best, you know, group of guys on the floor. We'll figure it out.
Is Dane, I know when he first got on campus, I heard that he loved the gym, loves to work. I mean, was that consistent all year long?
It was consistent. He unfortunately right now is going to end up having surgery. I think it's going to be sometime late May.
Okay.
He has a small fracture in his foot.
Right, right.
So he's going to have surgery, which is going to keep him out for the next few months. Now, up until that time, he was working out really great shape, working out two times a day.
Yep.
Really looked good, especially in practice.
Right.
He really, really looked good. So we were encouraged and confident and pleased with that. So now, you know, this is a setback for him.
Right. I mean,
he's going to have to make sure his weight's down. He's going to have to make sure his conditioning's up. He's going to have to make sure that, you know, he's doing all the things rehab wise that he needs to do. But the talent is there.
Yeah.
You know, the talent is there. I mean, he's very, very skilled, very talented, but he's going to have to really get himself in position to see if he's able to help us out this year. But, you know, we'll see. I think him being healthy is the number one thing.
Right. And what about Zach? I know Zach is a guy that has some skill, and he's got great hands, great feet, and, you know, showed some good things in limited minutes.
Yeah.
And I talked to his dad in Indianapolis, seems to be really happy with Baylor, seems to love Baylor. I mean, what have you seen from Zach, and where does he need to get?
Yeah, I mean, Zach, again, we talked about the confidence thing. And I think, you know, in order for you to really have confidence, it just comes from experience.
Yep.
Like in-game experience. Obviously, he had really good players in front of him. But I will say, like, we've all been real pleased with him. He's turned a corner since the season has ended. He spent more time with Charlie Melton, our strength coach.
Yeah.
He spent more time in the gym before he went home. So that's all good things, right? That's all good to see. You know, he's very, very skilled, very talented, like you said. But just, you know, his motor's got to improve, and he knows that. You know, he's got to get a little tougher around the basket, which he knows. And just have a little bit of swagger, confidence. I know the young guys call it swagger, but just confidence. Confidence to play and believe in yourself. And so we're really, really pleased. Before he went home, we were really, really pleased with how he had been working and just getting those extra lifts in. You know, he's a little bit thinner, so he's got to eat, you know, which is a good thing for these young guys. Maybe not so much for us as we get older. But yeah, I mean, he's got to put on a little bit of muscle and weight, but skill-wise, he's really, really skilled, really skilled.
Awesome. And Jordan Turner, it's his third year in the program, and we know, you know, he's a big wing that can shoot and, you know, offensive rebounds pretty well. Like, I mean, what have you seen from his maturation and what are the expectations moving forward?
He's similar to Zach too. I mean, I think, you know, such a great kid, sometimes a little bit quiet.
Yep.
So we, you know, trying to get him kind of be more assertive and come out of his shell a little bit more, which he has been. But he's been in the gym with Adam before he went home every day. I mean, he was in here religiously, just working. He's actually got some extra lifts in with Charlie as well. So he's another guy who, you know, we need to put on some strength and put on some muscle, and he needs to eat some hamburgers every once in a while and get some extra pounds in. But he knows this, and the good thing about Zach and Jordan is, you know, when guys have the right mindset, right, like when they come in, they're focused, they have the mindset to prepare themselves to get better,
right?
That makes it a lot easier for us as coaches,
right?
You know, when you get some pullback or pushback where guys don't feel like they need to work, or guys don't feel like they need to get stronger, and they don't feel like they need to do this, that's when it's a little bit of, okay, you know, how is this going to work kind of thing. You know what I mean? But those two guys, credit to them. I mean, they really dove in head first, and they're like, look, I want to get better at this. I want to get better at that. And that's what I'm going to do. So anytime you do that, usually, you know, good things happen. It doesn't mean that guys are guaranteed playing this amount of time and this amount of minutes, but it just means that you put yourself in a better position when you do those things that you need to do to improve. So we'll see, but I'm proud of both of them so far, and hopefully they have a big summer.
Awesome. Now let's talk about the freshmen a little bit. I know you don't know really what you have other than watching tape, and we know this is a, you know, it's a top 10 class, but probably top five when you consider how small it is and the quality of each of these guys. I mean, three top 50 guys. Mm-hmm. So Langston Love, let's start in the backcourt. You know, I love his, like, it seems like he's an old soul that, you know, we're getting a guy that's coming to Baylor, mature, ready to play from a mental standpoint. You know, he can score, he can defend. I mean, there's he can pass. I mean, there's a lot of good things there. I mean, what do you see from him? And are all these guys going to be here right after Memorial Day? Or are we going to have the full allotment of guys?
So all of our guys are going to be back around the 28th, 29th.
Okay.
And then we're going to start up probably June 1st or 2nd. But, no, everything – I mean, you were spot on, everything you said with Langston. Great, great kid. As a freshman, very, very mature.
Right.
And he's also physically mature. I mean, like he's a solid looking kid.
Yeah.
About 6'4". Really does everything really good.
Right.
Like he defends. He, you know, he shoots it pretty well. I think if you ask him, he probably thinks he needs to shoot it a little bit better, which, I mean, all these guys can shoot it better.
Sure. Right?
You can always improve on shooting. But just high IQ guy. He's not a typical freshman, you know, with his approach to things, which is good, which is good. So really, really excited about him coming into next year.
And then Jeremy, I know Jeremy's been playing overseas, but we saw some games where he played for the Polish national team, looked really good. We've seen highlights from his play. I mean, you know, I know I think he sprained an ankle in the last game I watched. He went out with an ankle sprain. Is he healthy now? Is he, I mean, what's the
yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to say too much because I want to kind of temper expectations with our Baylor family listening. But man, I'll tell you what, he is really good.
Right.
I mean, Jeremy is really, really good. And he's got some advantage of playing with older men on some of his national teams and stuff. And being a young guy playing against guys that are a lot older, stronger, wiser, and more experienced. But super skilled, you know, really does a good job of moving his feet, got a good touch, could score inside and out. I mean, the coaches know I'm pretty excited about Jeremy. And he's a great kid. I'm excited about all of our freshmen. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's just something, you know,
he's one that has probably been misranked. Right. I mean, he's probably.
Yeah, absolutely. If he's in the States, he's a top 20, 30 player. To me, easy. Like, he's that talented of a player. So I really think people are going to like him. And he's got such a personality. He's got a little bit of a Maceo in him just with his smile and his just his personality. So he's a great kid. He's a great kid.
I'm sticking with the Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
Yeah, that's a good one. I told you that last time. That was good.
Yeah.
All
right,
Kendall. You do a good job with these comparisons, man. I'm telling you, you need to get like your own show or something. Just in comparison or something, man. Crazy.
Kendall Brown. So Kendall, I know, is the guy that's coming in with the hype, and obviously his athleticism is off the charts. He can defend. He can pass. You know, I think he's, you know, a decent outside shooter. Probably needs to get better in that area because, you know, like so many guys that are just so athletic that they can just get to the rim and score, you know, over people. You know, you just don't have to rely on the three as much until you move up a level, you know.
Right.
But I mean, what do you see from him and what are expectations?
You know, obviously, you know, I've known Kendall for a while and his father and I, you know, have had a good relationship. But just as far as a kid, I'll talk about that. He's an amazing, amazing kid, amazing teammate. I mean, one thing that his coaches all say is teammates love him. You know, he brings positive energy every day in practice. He's like a magnet. Everybody likes hanging out with him. So that's always great because we need, again, high character guys coming to our program.
Yep.
Basketball wise, I mean, you're not going to find five people in the country more athletic than him. You're just not going to see it. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can throw it up to the top of the square. You can catch it and dunk it, you know, one hand, two hands, however you want it. You know, he moves his feet great. You know, the one thing I think is so underrated with him is he's such a great passer.
Yeah.
You know, he loves to pass. He's unselfish. And he'll even say that the things he's got to improve on is his ball handling, which he knows that. And, you know, we're anxious to get him going with that. And, you know, him developing consistency with his outside shot.
Right.
But just as far as his physique, his body, his athleticism, I mean, it's like – I mean, I'll tell you, it's top five in the country. I mean, it's pretty crazy. And I think people are going to really be excited once they see him catching lobs or if he gets on the fast break, wanting to see what he's going to do. And reminds you of like the Dominique Wilkins, the Michael Jordan dunk contest when everybody's watching. I mean, it's crazy some of the stuff he can do. But and he got a really high basketball IQ. But the thing I love about these three guys, not only are they friends, but they're just all very, very mature. Right. And they all got great families. They come from great families, but they're just really, really mature. Like they have this this maturity about them, the way they carry themselves.
Yep.
That, you know, makes you feel like they're freshmen, but in a matter of time, they're going to be sophomores even during their freshman year.
Yeah.
Just as hard as they work and how they pick up things, how they carry themselves. You know what I mean? And LJ was like that. LJ was like that. So, yeah, I mean, what can I say, man? I'm just excited to get him down here, too. So I look forward to all our freshmen.
Well, I know I kept you a lot longer than I agreed to keep you, so thank you for doing this. But I do want to ask real quick about two more things. One is, has Mark Patterson moved on, or is he going to come back?
As of now, Mark has moved on, unfortunately. You know, he's got a couple great job opportunities.
Right.
Which we understand.
Sure.
Heck, man, he walked off with having like a shooting percentage, one of the highest shooting percentages ever. I mean, he won a national championship. I mean, shoot, I wouldn't come back either. I mean, what's there to come back to?
How can you top that? Yeah,
you can't top that. So no, but he was so instrumental, man. I mean, we love him, man. He is a great, great kid. He did such a great job with guys like Matt and other guys, just mentoring them, and Jared Butler, and just being that guy that guys can lean on. But he, yeah, we're gonna miss him.
And then Jackson's back, right? And Jackson's kind of the
as of now Jackson is back, so okay. You know, the mullet brother is returning as of now. So, you know, Baylor Nation will have to deal with the mullet brothers again for another 9 months, but hopefully they'd get a haircut. But no,
yeah.
But yeah, he's like Mark, man. He's a really, really vital part of our program. So right. We're blessed to have those guys.
And then the trip, I know we were planning to go to China for the World University Games, but has that been postponed?
Postponed for a year. Which is a little bit disappointing, just because, you know, it'd been a great opportunity for our guys to, you know, some of our younger guys or guys that didn't have as much time, get more games in, you know what I mean?
So we're still planning to represent the United States, but it's just postponed.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, no, that hasn't changed. No, they're not taking that from us. Yeah. Ashley, come on now. No, sir. Especially after winning the championship, man, you gotta keep that in Baylor.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, no, we're still planning on going. Hopefully it happens next year. And, you know, yeah, we get a chance to represent our country, man.
Yeah. And I know, just from a schedule perspective, I mean, I don't want you to break anything that hasn't been already revealed, but we're going to play in the Bahamas, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a loaded field.
It is.
Do you remember any of the teams off the top of your head? Or I don't either.
Don't know if I'm allowed to say, but I think you can find them out. It's pretty loaded.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then of course we have the Big East Challenge. So we were, this past year we were on the road, but that game got canceled with Seton Hall.
Yeah. So hopefully we, you know, we can get a home game this year, because, you know, obviously last year, you know, we didn't cancel it. So
yeah.
You know, hopefully, you know, we can get a home game coming into the Farrell next year.
And then we'll probably play the SEC game on the road, you would expect.
More than likely, yep. Since, because Auburn was here last year. So, we'll be on the road for the SEC.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, it's going to be exciting. And I know enthusiasm about Baylor basketball has never been higher. Yep. And hopefully we get good news on the arena and good news on roster development this summer. But thank you for taking time to do this. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I want to say thank you to you and everybody at Baylor Nation. Appreciate all you guys' support. Hey, we're not done. All right. We're going to try to get another one here. We're going to work hard.
Sounds good. All right. Sick and Bears.
All right. Sick and Bears.
Thanks, Jared.
Thank you, brother. All right, man. I got to go see.